How about we pray before I ask your question?
Father, I want to thank you for the way in which you do things in people's lives that is way beyond what we could imagine. And Father, we just want to thank you and praise you for Kim, a young lady who you are just working in her life, and although she keeps having that monster of depression and that still raising its ugly head, you have been faithful to her, and we want to thank you and praise you for that. And Father, we know that you want to intervene in our lives in lots of different ways, and sometimes we're hesitant to allow that to happen. So Father, I pray today you will open all of us, all of our hearts, to being ready to be the people who respond in ways that you call us to when you intervene in our lives. We pray all of this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Well, I have a question for you today that's relatively easy to answer, unless you're Rob Farley or a David Bamborough or a Brandon over here. Everyone else will find it fairly easy. The question is this: what can't you do? And because each of those names I've mentioned, they can do anything. They can do everything. And so, except for them, everyone else should find this really, what can't you do? Okay, this is something I want you to work through. As an example, I can't juggle. Okay, I can't juggle. I can't water ski, and I can't fly a fighter jet plane. Okay, so there's just three off the top of my head of things I can't do. I wonder whether or not you can think of anything at all that you can't do. And so just in little groups around you, I'd like you to come up with a few things that you can't do. Okay, and hopefully you can think of something, and hopefully, Brandon, if you really think hard, I'm sure you can come up with something that you can't do. All right, in small groups, let's come up with a good list of things you can't do. All right, okay, we can't have all day. Did anyone think of anything at all? Okay, you did. What can't you do?
I can't run and I can't ride a motorbike.
You can't run, you can't ride a motorbike, really? Anyone else? Did anyone else come up with anything at all? Yes, what can't you?
I can't even ride an ordinary bike.
You can't even ride an ordinary bike? Is that a true story? Okay, somebody got an ordinary bike with training wheels on that we can help Vivian to ride a bike. Yes, Bev? You can't touch your toes anymore? You can't... What? You can't yodel. How embarrassing. Can't yodel. Glenn.
I've been in a fighter jet.
I didn't fly. Yeah, you've been in a fighter. Yeah, I'm glad you weren't flying. And yeah.
I can't fly without an aeroplane.
You can't fly without an aeroplane? Okay. Did anyone, except for the names I mentioned, did anyone struggle to... Oh, tell you, what can't you do? Hilton?
Read a woman's mind.
Yeah. Is there anyone else in this room who can't read a woman's mind? Anyone at all? Okay. X. You can't read a man's mind. There's not too much there to read, I can tell you. All right, okay. Moving right along. It's pretty easy to come up with a list of the things we can't do, isn't it? It's actually not difficult at all. The list of things we can't do is endless, really. And so we all start at that place. And I think it's really important for us, as much as that's lighthearted and a frivolity there, we need to understand that that is the place where we all start. We start at a place of there's a lot of things that we can't do and we're not equipped for. And that's why we need to understand that as much as we start with a list of things we can't do, the list of possibilities of the things we can do is actually endless as well. But we need to understand that that's not because we can do things in our own strength. It's because when God calls us and God equips us, we know that all things are possible and we can do more than we would imagine. Today, Mitch and I are together, tag teaming, going to be reflecting on what is calling. Because I think one of the things that we struggle with when we hear that word of calling is this idea of it's some mystical thing, or it's only ever the thing that a minister will talk about. We're going to talk about what is calling, and we're going to be focusing our attention very much around that video that we saw earlier on in the service, which talked about Moses being called. And Moses was very good at coming up with lists of all the reasons why he couldn't,
and yet he ended up doing the very things that God called him to do. We're going to, in just a few moments, be looking at a video that is referring to calling. It's actually by a Catholic priest, so it's a bit of an unusual one. But the words that he speaks, I think, are inspired. Ask Mitch to just to explain the video a little.
Yes, the video is by a Catholic priest, but when we were watching it and looking for other ones and everything else, this was clearly the best one. Specifically, the very start and the very end. So we're going to watch that clip now, and I wonder if you might actually be able to spot yourself in this video clip.
I'm just too busy.
I'm just too young.
I'm too old.
I'm already married.
I'm just not good enough.
There are a lot of reasons why not to answer God's call. We look at our lives, our imperfect, unprepared, even sinful lives, and all we're able to see is what's missing, what we can't do. How could God use me, we ask? There must be better people. Judging ourselves by the standard of our world, we respectfully decline God's call and hope that someone else will answer it. But God doesn't choose people based on the standard of our world. So often it's not the strong, the knowledgeable, or the perfect that he chooses. It's the weak, the unexpected, even the broken ones he uses to show his glory. Elizabeth was too old. Moses wasn't a good speaker. Jeremiah was too young. Rahab was a prostitute. Mary Magdalene had 7 demons. Jonah ran from God. Peter straight up denied Jesus. And Lazarus? Lazarus was dead. To say that we're too old, too young, too busy, or too much of a sinner to accomplish great things on our own might be true. On our own. But while we're sitting here focused on all the many things we can't do, the many ways in which we are not good enough to accomplish incredible things, we forget one fundamental truth. It's not about us. Having a call from God is not about who we are and what we can do. It's about who God is and what God wants to accomplish in and through us. As he has shown time and time again, it doesn't matter if the person thinks she or he is qualified, wants the job in the first place, or in the case of Lazarus, is even alive. All that matters is that God knows who he can use and calls them to share in his work of building up the kingdom. Maybe God is calling you to use the gifts you've been given to make the world a better place for everyone to live, especially the poor among us. Calling you to share the amazing things you've learned to enlighten minds about the wonders of God and the universe he created. Calling you to work with integrity and virtue, doing jobs that no one else wants to do for the betterment of society and nation. Calling you to live with kindness and peace, building up the human family through love and forgiveness. When it comes to being called by God, there's no such thing as being too young or too old, unworthy or unprepared. And it doesn't matter if you're single, married, or a celibate like me. If God has a job for you, all that matters is that you have the courage to say yes and the trust to follow wherever he may lead you.
So his words on calling there are just very true. Doesn't really matter what your scenario is. That is true. God can call you in any moment. Before we get too much more, what I need to explain is this idea of this word calling, because it's a very church word. No one else really uses it outside of church. So it's a very churchy word. And what it means is simply this, that it's God intervening and asking you to do something that you wouldn't do yourself, something that you'd never do yourself, but he's asking you to do it for him. So it's God intervening in your life. You feel it, you understand that it's something that you don't really necessarily want to do, but there's this great demand from God, this great feeling from God that you need to be doing it for him. So as we talk about calling, that's what we're talking about God intervening. Tim and I, when we were looking at this passage and thinking through how Moses and Aaron were accepting this calling from God to help the Israelites, we realize that in many ways we've been called in a somewhat similar way. And I was thinking about it even just last night, I was doing the calculations and I was short by a few. Tim has ministered or been called to 12 different places between Queensland and New South Wales. He's lived in 11 different houses. Can't imagine living in 11 different houses. And I know a bunch of those needed renovation and everything else. So from God's calling alone, he's taken him to many different places of Australia and even to Morisset. There's a lot of things that happen in God's calling that mean you do move around a bit. For some people, it means you stay put. But for Tim, it was this big thing of moving around the country. One of the biggest changes that he had when it came to God's calling, I know he shared with me a couple of times, is this idea that he had to leave the Salvation Army Church. He was in the Salvation Army Church for a number of years and he loved it there, but he felt like God was calling him to this Baptist church. And so he had to say, well, I'm sorry, I've got to leave the Salvation Army Church and I've got to move to this Baptist church. And he's been in the Baptist world ever since. And when I was looking at all these things, and particularly the numbers of times that he's moved and the places he's been, I realised that these numbers could have been a lot less, they could have been a lot lower, if he wasn't listening to God's calling. If he wasn't ready to move on God's calling, if he was just saying to God, no, I'm happy here in Ayr, or I wrote them all down, all these other weird places he lived in Queensland. I don't know. Why do people go to Queensland? I don't know. Maryborough, Atherton, all these strange places that he's lived. God kept calling him to move, and if it wasn't for Tim hearing that and then responding to it, it never would have happened, and maybe he never ends up right here in Morisset. So those numbers could have been a lot less. However, there's a lot of numbers you can't count when it comes to God's calling. And these are the significant numbers in anyone's life. And they are the numbers of people that get to see the glory of God because you've followed God's calling. Because often or not, when you're following God's calling, it's not about what you get out of it. In fact, it's kind of difficult to see anything you get out of it. But it's about what everyone else gets out of it that's around you. God intervening in your life is not just about you, but it's about all those people around you, your neighbours and all those people that see you just in random moments. Moses would have had this for sure, as he was asked to help the Israelites get out of slavery. You're talking about thousands and thousands of people. Not just a few here and there, thousands and thousands of people that would have been witnessing Moses and Aaron coming into Egypt and telling the Pharaoh to let the people go, and seeing wonder after wonder, God being glorified. I personally know, though, of many times that because of God's calling and God's intervention in Tim's life, and I've had it a bit in my own as well, you might have had it in yours, of the many times that he stayed up very late at night, too late for a man of his vintage, I can say that and get away with it. And the many times he's woken up ridiculously early, and the many times where he's just had to go for a very long walk, all because of everything that he's trying to do, is trying to do it in God's will and in God's calling, knowing that if anything we do out of our own strength just falls flat. We're very much trying to live in God's will, in God's calling, and following his intervention in our lives. Moses speaks this out very well with his encounter in God. He knows that he doesn't have the skill or ability and that he has to fully rely on God, and yet it's still very difficult to do that. And I can imagine after many times that he's gone to see Pharaoh that he would have come back staying up all night thinking, well, that didn't work. And if that didn't work, then what's going to work? You know, this is insane. But for us, for Penny and I, and our two little girls now, for Tim following the calling of God made it so much easier for us to follow our calling. In fact, I don't know if we'd be in the Morisset area if it wasn't for Tim following God's calling. Tim following God made it much easier for us to fulfill God's will in our life in this Morisset area. And I imagine that would have been a similar scenario for Aaron. As Moses has heard God's calling and Aaron's trying to come along with that, You can imagine Moses would need to be a man who trusts God and knows God for Aaron to be able to help in this scenario, to come along with Moses and be a part of this journey. It could have been easy for Penny and I to follow along because we loved him. We've known Tim for years and we've often gatecrashed his house with his kids and everything else, eaten all their food and all the rest. We loved him. But there was something that God was asking us to do in our calling, his intervention in our life, that wasn't easy. And that was, he was asking us to move house with a fairly newborn child. She was probably eight or... No, I'm getting the direction. She was one? She wasn't yet one, was she? She was. Oh, there you go. I pay attention to things. She was one when we moved up this way. But the really difficult thing, was that he was asking me to quit my job, completely quit my job, not just move it up to the Morissette area. God, I really felt, was asking me to quit my job. The church was kind of telling me, ah, oh, don't do that, because it's not a full-time role. And I understood that, but God was really asking me to give everything to this Morissette area. So quitting my job was the intervention part of God's calling in my life that made this difficult. Not alone was Moses and Aaron, as this was not something that they did just in one day and they were finished. This took many visits back in to see the Pharaoh, and obviously we know 40 or so years in the desert and everything else. This was a huge long-term calling that they've undertaken. But in all of this, Aaron's calling is helped by Moses' calling. In a similar way, our calling was helped by Tim's. And each of your callings help us to work together to fulfill God's will for his church. For both Tim and myself, God intervened to fulfill his perfect will. And he intervenes in your life to help his will in this church and for your neighbours. Tim's going to wrap that up now. I didn't know Mitch was going to say all that, so...
It's really easy for us to look at a distance and almost put different people on pedestals for the way in which they were called and therefore they did the role that is theirs. But as Mitch has rightly pointed out, a sense of calling or a sense of simply saying or recognizing that God's calling us to do something that takes us a little bit out of our comfort zone is something that God regularly asks of all of us. It's easy for us, as we started this, I guess, discussion time together, to reflect on all the things we can't do. And to think as that gives us a legitimate reason to not follow God's leading in our life. Don't know whether you remember the story of Lauren Parker, who was at the Commonwealth Games. Lauren Parker won a medal in the disabled section of the Commonwealth Games. She had an accident less than 12 months ago and was paralysed from the waist down. If ever there was a person who had every right to wallow in their misery and to declare, my life's over, I've got all these limitations, there's nothing I can do, it would be Lauren. But instead, she just picked herself up, recognised that there were things that she could do, and the list of things that she could do was greater than the things that she couldn't do, and she ended up going to the Commonwealth Games. I think that's it's a great story. We, within the Christian church, though, we tend to want to focus on the what we can'ts. We need to turn that around. We need to stop asking the question, who am I? And I think if we were to put it in today's terms of this, who am I, really what we're saying is, I'm nobody. And that's what we want to declare. Somehow within the Christian circle, we want to declare, I'm nobody. But that's not the message that God gives us. God gives us the message, I've chosen you. I want you to be my person. And we need to live in the fullness of it. So what are the limitations that you want to hold on to? We know in the Bible that Timothy tried the I'm too young. You know, he tried to come out and too young, and Paul said, don't you dare let anyone look down on you because of your youth. You're not too young. And then people like Abraham wanted to go with the, oh, I'm too old. And of course, that's not true. We consider our experiences or lack thereof as limitations. Yet personally, I really battled as I tried to think of someone in the Bible who God said, you know what, I've noticed all the things you're able to do. I've noticed your experiences. I've noticed your training. I've noticed your natural ability. Therefore, I will call you to this task. If you can think of someone, I'd be pleased to hear it. But I think God went to every person and basically looked at a person who didn't have the experience, who didn't have the training, says, you're the one I want. It's the way in which God works. Noah did not have a lot of experience in ark building. Disciples weren't real good at performing miracles when they were called. So the idea of who am I is a question we ask, too old, too young, not experienced, lack of knowledge, and whatever other phrases we want to use. But the question, who am I, is not one that we should ever utter. We really simply need to declare, Lord, here am I. Here am I, send me. Moses, I think, was truthful when he said, who am I? He didn't believe he was up to the task. He didn't believe he had the knowledge to speak to Pharaoh. He felt there were too many boundaries on him being able to go before Pharaoh. But the one thing he knew, and the burning bush certainly helped, but the one thing he knew was the God who called him, and it would be God who would equip him. Today, I just want to recognize that we are not talking about something extraordinary. There may well be moments that are extraordinary within it, but we're not talking about something extraordinary. God might simply be asking us to do things in little ways. You know, right now we have things like morning tea rosters. Morning tea rosters that it would really be nice to have a few more names on. Is that something where you go, you know what, that is actually some way in which I could serve the church. There's opportunity for you to sign up at the hub if that's what God is asking you to do. Our worship team could always do with others who could sing. Maybe secretly, deep down, you know that you can play the piano or some other musical instrument. And to this point, you've said, I'm not good enough or I'm not able enough. There's a time when God's saying, you have what it takes, and he will equip you for that. Caring for someone in need. Maybe caring for someone who is less than lovely, where everyone else is rejecting them because they are awkward saints. Is God calling you to care? Standing in the gap where somebody else just needs you to take that step. Listening to God's calling and remembering who calls you enables us to be the people God called us to be. God has us all here in this place, and I was just reflecting on that this morning as I was chatting to people. Isn't it wonderful? God's got us all here in this place at this time to do his work. I think that is amazing. And we can all fulfill completely the task that God has for this church if we all put our hand up and simply say, Lord, I am making myself available to do whatever you call me to do. Can I encourage you to trust God to use you in the way in which he sees fit? Let's pray together. Father, we recognize that you are a God who can do all things. But we also confess that there are lots of times where we think that you can do all things external of us, but not in us. And so, Father, we confess that sin today, and we just really want to acknowledge that you can do all things even in us and through us. And so, Father, we invite you to speak into our hearts, speak into our lives, and whatever you are needing of us, the Father, we will make ourselves available and do what you ask us to do. We pray this in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.